We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and as I said, we're continuing our studies concerning the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so it is that we're going to focus on words that we find in verse 13, Luke 11 and verse 13. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The beginning of another year, what would you say is your impression of God on the basis of the way in which it is that God dealt with you over the past year? Is it the case that again tonight that you believe that he has at all times your best interest at heart, even though his providence perhaps seemed heavy and difficult for you? Do you believe that if you ask anything according to his will, that he hears you in prayer? Has that been your experience in your prayer life over the past year? And yet if it hasn't been, then perhaps you're wondering about the use and the place of prayer in the year that lies ahead. Have you considered that he rejoices over you when you repent? And when it is that you acknowledge that there's only salvation in and through Jesus Christ? And do you have the impression that God even now is preparing a place for you in heaven and is planning to give you the recreated earth as your inheritance, even at the beginning of this year? And it is that I think that probably your answer with regard to most of these things would be in the positive. But the one that I think that perhaps you maybe would have questions marks at and really wonder if it was true in your case is in terms of your prayer life, and that you have asked things which you have believed are in accordance with his will, and yet it would seem that God has turned a deaf ear to you. And so it is that your impression of God tonight, and even as we gather here, is that you're asking, does God really answer prayer, and will he answer my prayers in the years to come? You see, among many of the prayers that we will pray, God willing, throughout 2023, the one that I think that God has told us, he will answer in the affirmative, and if it is that we would simply persist in this prayer, is in terms of what it is that Jesus says here in verse 13, and that is with regard to the asking to be given the Holy Spirit. It is that Jesus says here quite simply, succinctly, quite clearly, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And it is that you notice in terms of the context that he's arguing from the lesser to the greater. That it is that he's using the example of earthly fathers, and indeed fathers who give no thought to God, nor indeed to the destiny of their own souls. And it is that he's saying, look, they wouldn't behave in this manner toward their children. When it is that they ask for something to eat, that they would give them the exact opposite of what it is that they asked for. And so it is that he's saying on that basis, then you can be assured that your Father, who is holy, who is just in all his ways, that it is that when you come to him in prayer and ask him for the Holy Spirit, that indeed he will give the Holy Spirit. And it is that we need to remind ourselves, I think, of this at the beginning of another year in our lives, that it is that the presence of the Holy Spirit, that the sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that the working of the Holy Spirit in our life and every day that God gives us to you this year, that it's something that's absolutely essential to our very existence in this scene of time. For if it is that we know not the Spirit as we should, without him we are powerless, without him we are breathless, without him we are without hope. And indeed, Jesus himself already alluded to that in something concerning his earthly ministry as it was coming to a close. You remember the words in John 16 and 7, and we considered them last year. And it is that Jesus said to his disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." And although it was the case that I believe that Jesus really enjoyed being with his people in person, he himself knew and understood that for his disciples in every age to have the richest experience possible of his work, of his person, and so on, that it is in a sense that he needed to make way for the Holy Spirit to come. And so it is that he returned to the glories of heaven, and from the glories of heaven, himself and his Father, he gave the Spirit without measure to God's people. And if it is that God spoke so much about how essential in our lives the Holy Spirit is, then we need to ask ourselves, I think, tonight and challenge ourselves, is this something that will characterize us each week of 2023? that we recognize that in and of ourselves, that we are but dust, we are frail creatures. That it is that we will recognize that our arm, no matter how strong or outstretched it may be, that it is that it's an arm of flesh, it's an arm that's wasting in a sense. But it is that the arm of the Lord is mighty and outstretched and able to save to the uttermost. And if it is that Jesus was so interested in giving us the perfect gift that he was willing to go away from this earth for a while to make way, in a sense, for the Spirit's fullness, how important then is the Spirit's presence in our lives every day of this new year? So the first thing I want us to look at tonight is what I've termed as the recipients of the promise. The recipients of the promise. In this passage, we've got a wonderful promise. It's a pearl of a promise. In fact, it comes at the end of a series of very great promises. And it is that these promises are building up in earnest affection as they, in a sense, tumble from the mouth of the Lord. Look at what we read in verse 9. And I tell you, and ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. And then he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, one of the things that I think is good to remind ourselves of is that these assurances that Christ he gives here, that it is that they don't belong to all men indiscriminately. That it is that we cannot take the words of Christ here when he says the Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him and indeed put them up on our electronic notice board that's downstairs. If it is that you stand outside the church for any length of time, you'll see my name appearing, you'll see the denomination that we belong to appearing, you'll see the times of the services and so on, and when the fellowship meeting is going to be and the ladies' Bible study and things like that. And anybody walking by the notice board, you can see them and gain information from them. But if it is that we put ask and it will be given to you in the notice board, can you imagine what it would be like, say, for an individual who's walking by? And it is that they're maybe going to Bayview Mall or to the Y over here. And it is that perhaps they would stop and consider such a promise and say, well, that's for myself. Ask and I will receive. Wow, that's something that sounds really good to me. All I've got to do is ask and I will receive. All right then, I'm asking for the money that I need to go on the cruise that I've always wanted to go on. I'll ask, therefore, that I'll win the lottery this coming Saturday, that my numbers will come up. And it is that I'm encouraged to believe that I will win the lottery because God says, ask and it will be given to you. That's not the case. This is utterly unacceptable because this is not a promiscuous promise. But this is a promise that God in Christ has given to those who indeed have closed in with God's offer of salvation in Christ. And you see how it is that I think that even in terms of the context, how it is what Jesus says here is curtailed in the text. First of all, we're told that Jesus' disciples came to him and asked them to teach them how to pray as John taught his disciples. And it is that we see that Jesus, he told them to call God their Father. And that immediately reminds us that here are a people whose concern, even as they pray, that it's not in terms of money, that it's not in terms of the things of this world, that it's not in terms of health and wealth and strength, whatever it may be, but it is that the underlying concern and the basis in which they are asking Jesus to teach them to pray is that they would indeed hallow the name of God. And it is that they, as his disciples, might continue to work for his kingdom to be found coming in their midst. And it is that these are the people who are given this problem. And it is that the immediate context here in verse 13, Jesus says on the basis of what has already been said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You see, the words that Jesus speaks here and the promise that he gives is only given to his disciples. It's only given to those who recognize something of their need. It's only given to those who recognize something of the necessary submission that must be theirs on their part. And that it is that they begin to realize that without Christ they can do nothing, but in Christ and with the help of his Spirit that they can do all things, for he is the one who strengthens them. You see, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and if it is that you've received God's Son as Messiah and Savior, then you have been given the right on the basis of the words that come forth from the lips of Christ to ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, that not one word of this promise belongs to anybody else. That it only belongs to those who have been born from above and the blood-bought people of God himself. And it is that what we have here is a great family promise for the household of faith. That every day that God gives to us in this year could be the last year of our lives. We just don't know. But it is that that promise is ours for every day that we are in this scene of time. Lord, please give me the Holy Spirit. And we know how important that is. Think of what it is that the Apostle Paul teaches concerning the fruit of the Spirit. And there it is that you've got that ninefold, as it were, manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. And it is that at times throughout the next year, we will find it difficult perhaps to be loving. We will find it difficult to be joyful. We will find it difficult to be at peace and the many other things and aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that the Apostle speaks of. And that's therefore why it is that each day, and often within a day, that we need to, in Christ's name, come to our Heavenly Father and say, Father, please give me the Holy Spirit. Father, please help me. Because it is that what I'm about to face, what I'm about to experience, what I am experiencing, I cannot do it in my own strength. But Lord, with your Spirit, the Spirit who surfaced, who hovered over the surface of the deep, the Spirit who himself, down through the ages of the ancient people of God, was made manifest in many wondrous ways. Oh Lord, it is that I need the Holy Spirit. You see, if you're God's child tonight and you're asking and making this request of God, it is that Jesus is saying the Father will be pleased to give you the Holy Spirit. It's as plain as the nose on your face tonight. What is it that Jesus says elsewhere? You do not have because you do not ask. I've used the example before. I'm going to use it again. But I've seen it with my children when they were younger, and I see it now with my grandchildren. They're constantly asking. And they're constantly asking to the point where it is that at times I'm driven to despair. Papa, we want this. Papa, we want that. Papa, why is this the case? Papa, what about this? What about that? What about the other? And eventually I've got to say to them, look guys, just stop asking so many questions. Stop asking. And yet, how do you learn? Except you ask. And so it is that the challenge I think to us tonight is this. Do we not have the Spirit because we're not asking? None of us can turn around tonight and say, well, you know, nothing will come from it. That's not the case. Jesus says here simply and clearly, the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Why don't you put God to the test this year, if I may say that reverently? And often within a day, ask for the Holy Spirit. When you read his word, do you ask for the Holy Spirit, that the word be blessed to you? When it is that you come to the throne of grace in prayer, do you ask that the Holy Spirit would give you the words with which to pray? When it is that there are difficulties in your life, and it is that you feel that you're at the end of your tether, is it the case then that you ask God, the Father, for the Holy Spirit to help you? That's the challenge, and yet the comfort that I think is available to us tonight at the beginning of this new year. And so it is that we've got the recipients of the promise. Second thing that I think we can say is that we've got the requirement for the promise. In some ways, I've already begun that. I jumped ahead in what I was saying. It's in my mind. But it is that God's children should ask God to fulfill his promises. And we should ask ourselves as we start to pray whether we have a promise. Whether it is that we're recognizing that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. And I don't mean whether it is that I've got one emotionally, one that grips me, one that zaps me, one that makes me weep, the one that takes all my strength from me and touches me deeply. No doubt there are such consequences that come through, say, reading and hearing the word of God. And when it is that the Spirit is sent down from heaven, and we thank the Lord for those times when it is that is Spirit-led and Spirit-filled, that we are moved to the very core of our being. But here it is, and in terms of what Jesus says in the high priestly prayer, when he says, sanctify them by your word is truth. And it is that we have this word of truth here tonight when he says, will the Heavenly Father not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Yes, there are great and precious promises, and they are yea and amen in Christ. And these promises we can make use of every day, and particularly when it is that we worship God, and we can pray with confidence that God will fulfill what he has promised to you and every child of God in every age. And you see, God's promises made to us are the limits of God's obligations. What do I mean by that? Well, what God has promised to give us, he will give, but no more than that. For example, it's not promised that you'll get an A grade in all your exams, or even that you'll pass every single one of your exams. He doesn't promise that. He's not promised that you'll be cured of every ailment, every disease that you contract, every difficulty that is yours because of ill health. He's not promised you riches. Some cases he hasn't promised marriage or children. In other cases, he hasn't promised a long life. He's not even promised us with a great religious awakening in our own lifetimes. Where there are no promises, then God has not bound himself to us. But every promise that he has made, and on the basis of the content of these promises, it is that he will fulfill them. What are they? Well, think in this. That he will work all things together for your good. That's a promise. And the Holy Spirit helps you believe that promise. That he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's what's before us tonight at the beginning of 2023. That all your needs, physical, spiritual, mental, psychological, congregational, whatever they may be, God is saying, I will supply all the needs that are yours. And what about this? Nothing shall ever separate you from the love of Christ. Absolutely nothing. Is that not a comfort for you tonight? To know that no matter where you are in this life at the moment, that if you're a child of God, that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And that the good work that God has begun within you, he will complete it and bring it on to that glorious day. And what it is that he has said in such promises is those he will perform infallibly. And it's these that we are to pray for. And all the certainty and assurance that can be ours tonight and in the year to come must be based on these promises. So here you've got this promise of the Holy Spirit. There are other such promises, for example. Think of the prophet Joel, chapter 2 and 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. That promise, when it was given through the prophet Joel, was made to all God's people, to old and young, to male and female. And the Lord has said that I will pour out my spirit in those days are ours in terms of the fulfillment of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. So what it's saying to us tonight is this. You can go to God every day of this year. And you can, on the basis of what it is that God has already said millennia ago, it is that you can ask him to pour out his spirit upon you, and you can say to him, on the basis of what Christ says here, you have promised you will do this. I read in Joel 2, verses 28 and 29, and I'm holding you to your word that you fulfill that word for me. Lord, I am dead. Lord, I need the Spirit's a life. Lord, I am blind as I am, and I need the Spirit's illumination. I am ignorant, Lord, and I need the Spirit's understanding. Please give me the Spirit as you have promised. Jesus says, How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Are you blind tonight? Do you have no life? Perhaps you feel spiritually you're about to drop? God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Notice the way that Jesus even brings it forth in the argument that he uses here. And he spells it out in a fascinating way to encourage us to address our Heavenly Father about giving us the Spirit. And it goes back to what he said at the beginning when he said to them, when you pray, pray in this manner. And it always has struck me how wonderful it is that the Lord's Prayer, that when they say to him, teach us to pray, Jesus says, pray in this manner. He doesn't begin in terms of, oh great and eternal God, oh mighty and majestic one, the eternal one, and so on. Yes, these things are true. But because we are united to Christ by faith, and because we have Christ as our elder brother, and because we belong to his family, Christ comes to us and says, when you pray in my name, say, Father. Father. So I always think it's strange if this coming week, if the grandkids come over, which they probably will, it's going to be exciting, always is when they do it, when they come over. And I would be taken aback if they came up to me and said, oh great and mighty Papa, it is that we beseech you and to do this and to do that, because you are great and you are eternal, Papa, and you are majestic in all that you say and do. I'd be speaking to their parents and saying, what are you doing with the way you're bringing these kids up? And I think that's sometimes why maybe we find it difficult to remember that Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father. Father. Such pity as a father hath unto his children dear, like pity shows the Lord to such who worship him in fear. For he remembers we are dust, and he our frame well knows. Frail man, his days are like the grass and flower and field that grows. He knows you're frail. He knows you're weak. Not just physically, but maybe mentally. You feel that you're about to have a nervous breakdown. God knows how you feel. And God has promised as your Father in heaven that he will bless you. And Jesus says, think on it. Your little boy's hungry. And he comes to his dad and he says, Daddy, give me a fish. And the father cries out and says to him, I'll give you something. And he snarls at him when he's saying it, and he throws a viper at him. Or he asks his father and he says, Dad, I want a hard-boiled egg. Okay, here it is, son. And he drops a scorpion into his hand. You would say, what a terrible father. Really? We wouldn't treat our children that way. We wouldn't give them bread. We would give them bread and eggs. We would give them good gifts, not evil gifts. And Jesus is saying, well, think on it. You're evil men by nature. You're the sons of Adam. You've gone astray from the womb, telling lies. You drink iniquity like water. And in your flesh, there's absolutely no good thing to be found. And yet, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You can still do that. So therefore, I'm saying to you, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And he's saying, if you ask for the Spirit, you will receive the Spirit. Think on it. He doesn't say you have to agonize for the Spirit. He doesn't say, as some would say it is, you have to be totally yielded to the Spirit. You have to make full surrender to have the Spirit. That you have to be completely dedicated to receive the Spirit. That you must renunciate all sin for the Spirit. That you must lay all on the altar for the Spirit. That body, spirit, and soul has to be yielded, that there is to be a perfect consecration of your entire beings prior to you receiving the Spirit, that you have to struggle for the Spirit, and that you must continue in intensive and persevering prayer, and then maybe you might get the Spirit. Jesus says, no, none of these things. Jesus says, ask for him. Ask for him where you are. He's saying to us, you don't become histrionic and scream and roll about on the floor to get a piece of bread from your earthly father. If a child did that, its earthly father would be taking him to the doctor and saying, there's something wrong. When I go to give my child this gift, he's rolling about the floor and he's screaming and he's shouting, and I can't deal with him. No. Jesus says quite simply, the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. The Spirit doesn't have to be wrestled out of the Father's reluctant hands. And the Spirit is given, and a gift is not earned or won by price or merit. I remember when I was, 16, 17 years of age. Seems a long time ago now. And I was serving my apprenticeship as a mechanical engineer, and there were 30 of us who made up the first-year apprentices. And Friday of every week was payday. Every Friday was a payday. And one of the girls from the wages department, which was at the other side of the factory, far away, it is that she would walk from that part of the factory to the place where the apprentices were, where we worked that first year. And she would have a little box, and in that little box would be 30 pay packets, and with her pay slip and everything in them. Did you think when she appeared and we went up to her that we needed to grovel before her and thank her with tears for her pay packets? Not one bit. She took them and gave them to us. Yes, we thanked her, and then we walked off. It's the same with God and the Holy Spirit. God gives us the Spirit, we thank him, and we continue in the presence and the power of the Spirit. So you've got the recipients, you've got the requirement. Third thing is, you've got the recognition of the promise. The recognition of the promise. And the recognition is in terms that the Father promises his Spirit will be given to those who ask him. We can sit for the next year, if God gives it to us, moping that the church is in decline. And those of you who know me know that I'm often tempted to mope. I'm often tempted to say it's the day of small things. I'm often tempted to say, where is God and where is the blessing of the Holy Spirit? We can have our meetings and we can confer together. We can discuss all the depressing pressures that are ours in this world and being brought to bear upon the church. But it is that when we do that, we're betraying what Christ has promised here. And we forget the one great remedy to all our moping, and it is God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And what I'm saying tonight is this, is he central to your thinking? That's what Christ is reminding his disciples of here. He's saying to them, who it is that you men need now is the Spirit of God. And then he's saying this to them, ask God to send God to you. Ask God to send God to you. And he's saying and reminding us that what we always need more of and always will need more of is the Holy Spirit. We need his comfort. There are some people who are naturally comforters. The example comes to mind. I don't know if I should use it, but I remember when Mark was a little boy. He'd his comfort blanket. He'd be hitting me now if he was here. But everywhere he went, his comfort blanket had to go with him. And I can remember one day, whatever happened, we couldn't find the comfort blanket. Well, he wouldn't move. And he created because there was the comfort blanket could be found. Eventually, we found the comfort blanket. The change was instantaneous. Do you need the comfort blanket of the person of the Holy Spirit so that you can be comforted? And when Jesus says, I seek and knock, it's not the repetition of increasing intensity, of going from one concern, from one degree of concern to a higher level and yet a still higher level. But it's the repetition of importance. It's almost as though he's saying to us, you're failing because you're not bringing to God your daily needs on an ongoing basis. You're going on too much in terms of surviving on your own gifts, your own insights, your own energy and personality, and you're not expressing your sheer impotence and crying for the Holy Spirit and saying, without Jesus, I can do nothing. But with Jesus, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You see, he knows what we need. He knows what is absolutely indispensable for you every day of 2023. And God makes no mistakes. With God, there are no moods. Are you moody? Some of us are by nature. And sometimes it is that you can go down into a great mood and it's into the depths and it's so difficult to come out of that mood. Can you imagine if God were like that? And you're saying, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. Please give me the Holy Spirit. Yeah, well, I'm in a mood with you. Because it is that you didn't treat me right or do right when the last time I gave you the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to stay in that mood. It's never inconvenient for God to get involved in our lives. And it doesn't matter where you are. Think on it throughout the world tonight. God commands his Holy Spirit to go forth into the darkest, dirtiest, hottest, most unfriendly, most hostile, most remote places in the world. Why? Because his people are there. Such as should be saved are there. And if it is that he does that, how much more in our lives will he bless us? So we've got the recipients, we've got the requirement, we've got the recognition for the promise, and finally, and we need to wrap up with this quickly, remember the promise. Remember the promise. What do I mean by that? Well, the next phrase I've got in my notes is beware of presumption. And the example I'm using is the example of Mary and Joseph. When it is that the boy Jesus, when he was 12 years old, when it is that he disappeared from the family he grew up. And you read this in Luke 2 and 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. What is that saying to us about the Holy Spirit? Well, it's saying to us that we can be like Mary and Joseph because it is that they presumed that Jesus was in their company. But he wasn't. But they presumed it. And it's so hard not to presume. False assumptions have led many of God's people into difficulties of one sort or another. And think of what it is that Mary and Joseph were presuming. They presumed that Jesus was moving with them just because they were moving. It can be the same with us. We can presume that the Holy Spirit's with us because we're moving. And yet it is that we may be moving further and further from the influence of the Spirit. There was no reason for them to think otherwise, but it was a lesson that they never forgot. It probably would have been the most traumatic moment for Mary between Jesus, his birth and his ministry and him ending up on the cross. And it's the only event of that era that the Spirit, through Luke, has recorded. It doesn't appear in any other of the Gospels. You think of the hundreds of stories that Mary could have told of Jesus when he was 12 years old. Yeah, she says, we thought he was with us. They were negligent parents. Child services would have been in like a rocket if they'd heard about it. And nobody was closer to Jesus than his parents, his earthly parents in a sense. They were about as close to God as anyone at that time could ever get. And if they made the mistake of presuming that Jesus moved because they moved, how much more should you and I be cautious in this area? And that's why it is that we have to ask daily for the Holy Spirit. And worse than their presumption is ours when we perhaps fancy that we are closer to God than we really are. And we look, and he's not there. It's possible to develop an overfamiliarity with God. It really is. All of us are prone to it. If it is, that's the way with us. Take to heart what Jesus says here. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And if God should spare us for the first Lord's Day of 2024, it will be interesting to look back over the year and to count the number of times. In fact, have a little book this year or in your computer and note down when and where you simply asked for the Holy Spirit. And God will hear and answer. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that often we complicate issues. And it is that it's so simple. Ask for the Holy Spirit. You do not have because you do not ask. And we pray that as we would yearn for the sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit this year, and a manifestation of his sanctifying power in us and amongst us, we pray then that we would take to heart what Jesus says here. Ask the Father, and he will give the Spirit to those who ask him. Again, we thank you that in this first Lord's Day of this new year, that we are found in your house. And we pray that wherever it is that our journey, our pilgrimage, where you would take us in the weeks and months that lie ahead, that we might do so with our hand firmly fixed in the hand of Jesus. Hear us now and accept us in Christ and forgive sin. And it's in his name we ask these things. Amen.